The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Taking an early look at one of the worst free agent classes ever. Hopefully there will be some sexy trades that go down during this NFL offseason. Or else it might be a little bit boring, but we're going to make it fun for you here on Fantasy Football Today. Please don't turn off the podcast. I didn't sell it very well. I do have Jamie and Dan here, our Friday mailbag crew. What's up, guys? What's up?
That's good to see that you're still perfecting your intros and dancing on the toilet, so I feel like everything's set to go.
Yes.
I need to bring this camera a little closer so it looks less like I'm on a toilet.
Wait, what was the other thing that someone said, Dan?
Oh, you emailed it to me. I forgot. This
like
is a new
high school
one.
Yearbook was, picture?
Oh, it looks like I'm in a yearbook picture. I don't know what that one is.
It's funny either way. So today's topic is if blank goes to the blank, then blank. So something like if Dan goes to the bathroom, then we must be on the air. Something like that. But if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, then Garrett Wilson is this. You know, those types of things. Before we get into that, let's just go over some of the potential free agents. If all of these guys became free agents, it would be a great class. But obviously, it's not going to happen. Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Daniel Jones. They could all be free agents. Josh Jacobs. Well, they could all be free, but you know, a lot of them, are, at least Jones and Smith, look like they're going to re-sign with their teams and maybe Lamar Jackson too. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard. We already have a report that Pollard's likely to get the franchise tag. Juju Smith-Schuster, Jacoby Myers, Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas. At tight end, you're looking at Dalton Schultz and Evan Ingram. We know Gerald Everett might not be back in Los Angeles, so... there are some names and always trades that could shake things up as well.
Okay. It's actually a pretty good running back free agent class. It's just receiver is dragging everything down so much. I feel like everyone's a little sour on this class. But running backs, there's a lot of talent there.
Like who? Who do you think hits the market at running back?
But that's I think Barkley very well might hit this market. I really do have this feeling just from everything Joe Shane has said, the Giants general manager, there don't seem to be budging off that number. And he's going, if he hits the market, there are some teams with a lot of cap space and a quarterback on a rookie contract, maybe one we get to a little bit later in my if and comment that I think could offer him a deal that if you're Barkley, are you taking $4 million less just to play for the Giants? I don't think that's going to be the case.
All right. So let's start with an if blank goes to the blank, then blank. We'll do a couple of these. Then we'll give you some news and notes. We'll make fun of, I have a segment here called Making Fun of Dan. We'll do that. And then we'll get back to this game. But Jamie, give me your first. If blank goes to the blank, then blank.
If Lamar Jackson goes to Atlanta, which is a potential destination for him if he is set free from the Ravens, then Kyle Pitts will become a top five fantasy tight end.
Can we be a little bolder? Like, why not number three?
I mean, he could be number three. He could be number one. You know, it's just I'd like to see what the rest of this team looks like. I'd like to see what happens if you have to make a trade to get him, you know, what they may have to give up, you know. So there's a lot still at play here. So, yes, he could be number you wanted to be bolder, he could be number three.
Where would you rank him? If Lamar Jackson goes to the Falcons, where would you rank Pitts?
I would right now still put him behind Dallas Goedert and TJ Hockenson, just because I think we've been a little too quick, myself included, to rush him up the flagpole and say that Kyle Pitts is the next great thing and is going to be a superstar and, you know, building off his 1,000-yard rookie season and getting, you know, maybe a quarterback upgrade or a system upgrade with, you know, what happened, Matt Ryan leaving and Marcus Mariota coming in, et cetera. He just hasn't been that guy yet. So, you know, I think there are a couple of safer options. Again, Hockenson, Goddard, and the top two guys of Kelsey and Andrews. But if you think that that's going to unleash his upside, and I'll probably, you know, I may get there myself if Lamar Jackson gets to Atlanta. But I think third at best, but I think you can put him in the top five again, and hopefully he lives up to it.
What do you think about that, Dan? If Lamar Jackson goes to the Falcons, then Kyle Pitts will become basically tight end five, maybe better.
I love that call by Jamie. I would, for me, I think Jamie's completely right. So I think it makes a lot more sense to draft Hockenson and Goddard over him, even if Lamar Jackson is traded to the, because I think he would have to be traded. I don't think the Ravens are going to play this stupid. I think they're going to put the franchise tag. I've actually read they might put the exclusive franchise tag on him, which means if the Falcons were to sign him, the Ravens get back 2 first-round picks. But if that happens, they give us some assets. He could be the focal point of that. Him and London could be the focal point of that offense. We still don't know if that'll be a pass-first offense. So I don't want to be too bullish on the situation, but I, knowing the way I draft in fantasy, I won't be taking Hockenson and Goddard over Pitts, because to me, those two don't have as clear path to winning you your league and to being that breakout tight end in the more in the Kelsey range. So it just kind of depends on how you like to draft your teams and what kind of risk factor you have, but I can totally see him being a top five if he's traded there.
If you I'd probably put him ahead of Goddard, just because, you know, the things that we talk about, you know, number one, number two in targets, we've kind of illustrated that Goddard's path to doing that is much more challenging because of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. The reason I said, you know, see what the trade is, like the Ravens may say, we want Drake London back. You know, that right. could be something that happens. And I'm sure if you're Atlanta, okay, we'll take Lamar Jackson for Drake London as part of the package. But in any event, you know, just to see how it all would shake out. But I do think that, because I could see Hockenson, like Thielen being gone from Minnesota,
yep.
you know, and I think Hockenson's clear-cut number two ahead of somebody like KJ Osborne.
Real final question on this. If you wanted to be high on Kyle Pitts, would you rather they sign Lamar Jackson or Derek Carr? Or trade, whatever, get Lamar Jackson or Derek Carr?
Lamar Jackson.
I think Lamar Jackson, just because you've seen what he's been able to do with Mark Andrews, not right. that Waller and Carr have right. been bad together in terms of the quarterback-tight end combination by any stretch. But I think there's just so much more explosiveness in that offense if Lamar Jackson's the quarterback, as opposed to, you know, not knowing if Derek Carr, you know, goes to a different situation and becomes, and please don't take it, you know, one for one, but Tom Brady, you know, just steps into a different situation and becomes just as good, if not better, just because you're throwing so much. Or he becomes Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, where it just, you know, it's switching teams and it's just a disaster.
Okay, Dan, give me your favorite. If blank goes to the blank, then blank.
Yeah, this will be a little bit surprising, I guess, if you listened to me last preseason, but I do feel this way now, and I'll tell you why I came around to it. If Dalton Schultz signs with the Chargers, he's going to be a top six tight end in fantasy next year. And Dalton Schultz is a player who I came around to. I wasn't high on him last offseason, but watching him play, I do think there are little nuances in his game and the ability to find space in zones. And it's not Travis Kelce, and I don't want to make that comparison at all, but similar in the sense that they do a good job of pivoting off their feet and then creating space. And if he goes to the Chargers, he reunites with Kellen Moore, who kind of made him and turned him into the player that he is. Also, there's a chance the Chargers may be moving on from some of their weapons. As we've seen, they're in a precarious salary cap situation. Justin Herbert's contract is coming as well. They can't really kick the can with some of these deals like Keenan Allen, and Gerald Everett might also walk. This also is dependent, of course, on Gerald Everett walking, but if they do sign Dalton Schultz, I think Gerald Everett will walk. So I think there's a really good opportunity for him to be a very heavy target player with a quarterback who can get him the football for sure and an offensive coordinator who knows how to best utilize him.
Jamie, your thoughts? If Dalton Schultz goes to the Chargers, then Schultz will be a top six tight end in fantasy.
I think we've kind of talked about this a little bit I believe it was Monday show, you know, in terms of not just Gerald Everett, but Keenan Allen leaving also, you know, if both those guys are gone, then you're looking at a lot of vacated targets for an offense that I think is still going to be very successful throwing the ball. Just going to have to figure out who the parts are. So for me, you know, one of mine for this exercise also was Mike Gesicki, just piggybacking off what I said on Monday. I think if they can find a playmaking tight end, I think it's going to be great. As Dan illustrated, you know, Kellen Moore seems to like utilizing that position. I think Justin Herbert has shown he likes utilizing that position. And so if you're talking about to me, it's more about if Keenan Allen's gone. Because if Keenan Allen is gone, then there's just such a wide open opportunity to feature somebody else. And so it could be Josh Palmer. It could be Schultz. It could be Gesicki. It could be, you know, rookie that they draft. You know, they have to find some way to be creative because Mike Williams is not going to carry the passing game by himself. So most importantly, Keenan Allen is not there, any type of splash, and I know Dalton Schultz, Mike Gesicki, these aren't splashy names, but they're certainly significant players in this opportunity if they get it. And so any of these type of guys, Schultz would have much more upside than Gesicki just based on what we've seen. But any free agent tight end going there with a departure of Allen, most importantly, but Gerald Everett on top of it would be great.
Yeah, and we're talking a lot about tight ends here, so we might as well stick to that theme. And Jamie already mentioned it, that we always allude to top five tight ends almost always are one or two on their team in targets. That did not really hold up as much this year. There were two tight ends who finished in the top five this year who were not top two on their team in targets. So Hockenson, I'm going to say he was, because he, you know, he basically was with both Detroit and Minnesota. So he's a little tricky, but he was. But Kittle was not. He was tight end three overall, and Ingram was not. He was tight end five overall. But I think in like the previous 4 years, there may have been only one tight end that finished top five without being one or two on his team in targets, and it was Robert Tonyan, who was very close. But so anyway, that is something that didn't quite hold up as much this year, but still I'm going to look for. So I would push back on what you said, Dan, and say it would have to be a departure of Keenan Allen or not okay. Mike Williams. Right? That's my thought, is maybe he could be six, but I don't think Schultz would make a huge impact if he were on a team with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. It does seem like they want to run the ball a little bit more based on public comments. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, Schultz is good, but I don't know that he's good enough if he's third on the team in targets to really be a big difference maker. That'd be the counter to it.
And I think that's fair. It is dependent on him somewhat taking over the role that Keenan Allen has in that short to intermediate range, the third down role. But I think ultimately what we could see, while they will lean more heavily on the run like they've said they want to do, part of that to me is just them saying that because they want to establish more of a run game so they can run more play action, five-step, seven-step drop shot plays, which will actually work better in Dalton Schultz's favor, because those help the tight end in the middle of the field to create kind of more of those explosive plays. So I just, thinking about how that offense is going to evolve with Justin Herbert next year, how they kind of want to go away from the Lombardi quick hitting, short passing game into more of an intermediate passing game, I think that could really help a tight end, and I think Kellen Moore could get a lot out of him. But I do agree, if he's third on the totem pole there in targets, it's going to be harder for him to get to that range.
But to be fair, though, and this is factoring in clearly the different personnel, this system is coming from a place where Dalton Schultz was a successful fantasy tight end 2 years ago with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
You know, so he still was able to not necessarily dominate targets, and may not dominate targets if there is a Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But Kellen Moore's system, and obviously I hadn't taken into account, you know, how the head coach is going to feel about maybe trying to, you know, make more of an imprint on the run game. But, you know, if they are throwing the ball to the same level and Justin Herbert's commanding the offense like he should, then there still should be enough targets for Dalton Schultz, while he may not lead the team, like a Dallas Goedert situation, where you're still going to feel pretty good about this type of player in the system.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Like, can you see a range, Adam, where I know you were high on him before the year, and I think a lot of factors played a role in his kind of somewhat down season. Justin Herbert losing his left tackle, losing his right tackle, getting to a third string center at some point, Joe Lombardi's the OC. But can you see a world where this offense takes off with Kellen Moore, they're healthier, and now he's throwing for like 5,000 like Burrow and Mahomes, and then there's a lot of yards to go around.
Well, look, right, like it's not even that hard, right? Let's look at Dallas in 2021. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott threw for just under, well, the team, because Cooper Rush played a little bit that year too. Dak missed a game, I guess. But the team threw for almost 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You had CeeDee Lamb with 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. You had Amari Cooper with 865 yards and 8 touchdowns. You had Schultz with 808 and 8 touchdowns. So, yes, I could see it. That year, 2021, Dalton Schultz was tied for second on the Cowboys with 104 targets. So he did finish top 2 in targets. He did meet that criteria. He was number 5 per game. He was number 3 overall. And number 3 overall tight end, look at these numbers. I mean, they don't really jump out at you, right? 808 yards, 78 catches, 808 yards, and 8 touchdowns on 104 targets in 17 games. That made him the number 3 overall tight end in fantasy in 2021.
But that's more like number 6. I mean, that's
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Number 5 per game and, yeah, number 3 overall. All right. Let me tell you about the CBS Sports app, which I am on all the time. You can listen and watch the podcast. You listen and watch the podcast. And you got all your best bets and all the things that you do on CBSSports.com. You can follow it all on the CBS Sports app. We've got lightning-fast live scoring for all major sports. Track your favorite teams or just individual games you have an interest in with a click of a button. Get your breaking news alerts. You can watch live sports. If a game's on CBS, I believe it's on CBS Sports Network, you can watch it on the app and get all the latest updates. And it is totally free if you have an iPhone, if you have an Android. The easiest way to keep your finger on the pulse of every game that matters, check out the CBS Sports app. Time now to make fun of Dan. Jamie, you've been making fun of Dan off the air for being late to our mock draft yesterday. And he was 3 minutes late to today's show as well.
Now
you're 3 minutes late. But I would like to share a text message I got from Dan the other day. He was on our Tuesday show. And
Oh no.
He said, wait a second, where he
said. Oh, God, this can only go in one direction, and it's not good for me.
This came at 10.05 a.m. Am I in the right stream? No one else is here yet. And I wrote, 11 a.m., buddy. He was an hour. He was 55 minutes early to a podcast. Did not read the schedule right.
I was on Tom Coughlin time for that day.
I also, I saw in Slack that he sent a message to our fantasy group that he has to jump off or he can't be doing in his content work because he had to be in the podcast at 10 a.m. to which Dave replied, "You scared me. I thought it was 10 a.m. as opposed." Yeah. So he fooled Dave as well.
That is true.
Oh man. All right. Let's do the news and notes here, see what we got. There's some. Sam Howell is going to enter the offseason as Washington's number one quarterback.
Wow.
Does anyone think there's a realistic chance that Sam Howell starts the season as their quarterback?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, look what they have. I mean, it's I did see somebody, I guess there was a commentator in Washington say that you've been trying to bench Taylor Heineke for 2 years and every time he plays, he saves your ass, Ron Rivera. Between Heineke, Wentz, and Howell, let them compete. You know, let them compete, see what happens, and you have options if you have to, go a different direction.
If those are the three quarterbacks on the roster to start the season, I think that Howell has a very good chance of starting because I think it's in their best interest. I felt like he should have been a round 3 pick. I was very surprised that Sam Howell fell to round 5. I thought usually when you take those round 5 guys, they have no arm talent. They can't throw the passes outside the numbers, but Howell actually can, and he has a pretty good arm. And he can run a little. So I'm actually intrigued to see if they give him a shot, but Washington strikes me as a team that's going to make a big move for a quarterback this offseason. I'm not quite sure yet which one. I've actually seen some Lamar Jackson to Washington rumors. Have you guys seen any of that? And that would intrigue me. It's not too far of a move for him from Baltimore to Washington, and I think they would be the type of team to make that move. But that's obviously, a little bit more speculative.
I'm sure they would probably love to get into the conversation. But, yeah. I think if they're going to try and acquire another quarterback again, it's probably going to be in the Garoppolo, Carr, Jameis Winston, type of guy that...
Well, that's not exciting.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So I think if they're going that route again, then you might as well just see what Sam Howell has. Because if they don't win, Ron Rivera's most likely going to lose his job. And for a franchise that's got so much in flux with ownership and all those things that are going on there, it almost feels like a reset is coming. Now, clearly, the offense coordinator is going to matter, which they don't have one yet. So,
right.
We'll see what happens there in terms of who that person wants to put under center.
Derek Carr was like the fifth Pro Bowl alternate. Okay, he made the Pro Bowl last year. So this,
I feel like you have like a secret man crush on Derek Carr. Like
does he?
Every time like we say something slightly negative about Derek Carr, and it's not like, you know, nobody's trashing him, but you like come to his defense all the time.
Well, I think it did just kind of trash him. You just said,
how did we trash?
If it comes down to Sam Howell, Taylor Heinicke, and Carson Wentz or Derek Carr, you might as well go with the Heinicke, Wentz, Howell.
No,
trio.
I think
no.
I think
but if, Jamie's if, talking if, about this 30,000 foot view. He's saying if you're in the position that franchise is in, why are you investing in a Derek Carr?
Right. They've tried this already now for the last
that's
couple
what
years.
Yeah,
but Carr, Carr is better than Wentz.
Of course.
Okay,
he is.
Yes. That's
right.
Not the point
so
he's trying to make.
He makes them better.
But
he makes them better
unless,
instantly.
Unless he is free and right. you have to sign him. Without overpaying it. I mean, look, they gave up 2 second round picks to get Carson Wentz.
Yes.
How's that working out for him?
No, you don't. But there's a pretty solid chance that Derek Carr will be a free agent.
If he is a free agent, then you need to sign him for a 1 year deal, Adam, to avoid what Jamie's discussing. And even in that scenario, what is that even getting you?
And there is very little chance that Derek Carr is going to Washington on a 1 year deal as a free agent. But I think, you know, as you know, you guys obviously know the NFC East, does Derek Carr make Washington a playoff contender in that division?
Yeah.
Not to me.
Yes.
No.
They were a playoff contender this year.
Okay. Contender, sure.
Okay.
Everyone's contender.
Does that make them a Super Bowl contender?
No.
That's the question. There it is.
No, but I can tell you.
Then so why go that route?
But because, Dan, how exciting was it this year for Giants fans? We weren't Super Bowl contenders, but we were tired of being crappy.
That's a different scenario.
We were tired of being bad. It was nice to be exciting.
Game.
Yeah, but
that's
it was
a different scenario.
They could
the Giants
win a playoff.
You think Washington with Derek Carr is a team that could make a run in the playoffs?
No, I think Washington with Derek Carr could be as good as the Giants were this year.
Okay, but that's not the point that the point Jamie's trying to make is you have a situation where this franchise is in flux. They're going to try to find a new owner at some point pretty soon. Do you want to sell to that owner that we just re-signed Derek Carr for 3 or 4 years and you're inheriting that? Or do you want to say we have a clean slate, we played Sam Howell, now you get to do that, you get to kind of craft this franchise how you want at the quarterback?
Oh, that's
position.
Fine. I just want to make it clear that he's an upgrade over the three guys.
Sure, he's a short-term
obviously
upgrade.
He's an upgrade over them.
Yeah.
So is Garoppolo. So is probably Jameis Winston. I mean, there are lots of guys that are upgrades over what they have, but they've been trying to put a Band-Aid on this now for the last several years, as opposed to let's invest in either a young guy, whether you believe in Sam Howell or not, to see what he has for a season or the majority of a season, or do you go out and put another Band-Aid on it? Derek Carr is not the long-term answer.
No. That's true, and they're not one solid quarterback away from being a true contender. I get that. I was just I interpreted it as like he's not that big of an upgrade, but I guess we're all on the same page.
No, and if we're playing it like a fantasy team, yes, I'd much rather have Derek Carr than the guys that they have.
Yeah.
You're playing this as what's going to get us to where we want to eventually get to, you know, to be a Super Bowl team. It's not signing Derek Carr.
Yeah, but that's a tough sell for Ron Rivera because you know he's out. You don't know it, but good chance he's out if they go with Howell or whatever and have another bad year. So there is that. Competing
unless you get the right coordinator in place and he has a Daniel Jones type of season. Not that he's going to do that, but you know, I mean, he takes a big step forward.
Yep.
All right, Brock Purdy's going to have elbow surgery, but expected
the
to be
most
ready
time we ever spent on an NFC East team aside from the Giants.
Are you kidding? We've been spending a lot of time with the Eagles lately. Brock Purdy's going to have elbow surgery, but expected to be ready for training camp. But you know, we'll see how that goes. It's a real big opportunity for Trey Lance, obviously, from now till then. Tony Pollard expected to receive the franchise tag, and also Dallas could keep Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, running it back with those two guys again. Would there be any question about Jamie who would be drafted first, Pollard or Zeke?
Oh, it's definitely Pollard. It's not even close. I think Zeke staying there saves his fantasy value because if he goes to the market, you're talking about the Melvin Gordon path. You know, I mean, just think about like what's gone on with that type of guy, you know? So, I think if you have Zeke in a dynasty league or a long-term keeper league, and you're hoping, you know, he could still have some fantasy value, staying in Dallas is the best case for him because that ownership group clearly, but the coaching staff as well is going to, you know, still give him opportunities to get work and probably touchdowns. But clearly if you watch the last two seasons, Tony Pollard is the best running back in Dallas.
Okay, so let's say they bring them both back. Real quick, guys, just give me a round for Tony Pollard.
Healthy by training camp?
Yep.
I think he goes no later than round 4.
Yeah, I would say no later than round four, and I think we'll see him much higher than that when it all rolls around. There's going to be a lot of hype around him. There's a lot of people, and the thing that's interesting is a lot of people will assume this is the year he does take over the role, but I'm not so sure if they bring Zeke back, like if they restructure that deal to a point where they're like, all right, we can accept this. How much of an upgrade in the role do you think will come, Jamie and Adam? Because I'm not certain we're going to see too much different than what we saw this year.
For Pollard, you mean?
For Pollard, right. Because we would want him, obviously, over Zeke. But it's like, if you're going to get him pushed all the way into round three, where I think he could come, he needs to have a bigger share than he had this year, I think.
I would agree with that. I don't know, much bigger, but probably, you know, the touchdown opportunities were clearly right. A big part of this. I also think you got to take into account, you know, 2 years ago, Zeke played through what was probably a more than a minor knee injury.
Right.
Last year, he sat out two games with an injury. You know, he's getting to that point in his career where, you know, he might not be able to fight through those type of things. And so if that missed time becomes, you know,
true.
2 games to 5 games to maybe more, you know, we saw what Pollard was capable of doing in that stretch. He was a monster. So I still would be comfortable with him in round. Round three would be a little bit tough, but, you know, round four is probably the beginning where I start to look for him.
All right. One final thing on that. I remember last. Sorry, Adam,
I said just real quick. Give me a number, guys.
One final nugget. Last offseason, a lot of us discussed the Zeke situation. We were like, remember, he's playing through that injury last year. Now they say he's looking fresh in camp. Things are going to be good. And a lot of people use that as a way to kind of get in on Zeke as maybe a buy low. But I think it's maybe a good lesson for us long term when we get these running backs who are up there in age and carries and tread. Don't buy into the hype of the good. You know, the good training camp, the good preseason coming off the injury, using that as an excuse, because when they get to that point, we're starting to see more studies that show like after the age of 26, these guys are just falling off in productivity.
Well, it's also when there's a young player that has shown you something to be, but you know, like, so just to flip that to, let's say, the Chargers, where you could get maybe, you know, to Adam's point, they want to run the ball more, and Eckler's now entering, I think, age 28 season. You know, they have an Isaiah Spiller who may have a strong camp or something along those lines, you know, right. Or Joshua Kelly does something, you know, whatever the case may be. That I don't think is the same because we haven't seen it from those guys yet.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Tony Pollard look like Tony Pollard.
Right.
You know, so a little bit different situation.
All right. And the Chiefs seem to be getting pretty healthy ahead of the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes practicing in full. That doesn't mean he's fully healthy, but that's good. Juju Smith-Schuster practicing in full. Kadarius Toney apparently running around like crazy. So, big preview tomorrow with some player props that we like. We'll take a break, and when we come back, if blank goes to the blank, then blank. If Fantasy Football Today goes to the commercial, then you will stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner. From launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's get some more scenarios, some if-then scenarios for free agency. Jamie, give me your next. If blank goes to the blank, then blank.
It's not if blank goes to the blank, it's if blank leaves the blank. So if David Montgomery leaves the Bears, Khalil Herbert will be a top 20 fantasy running back if he's the only guy there in Chicago. The main guy there in Chicago.
Okay. I mean, I think you know, if David Montgomery goes to another team, fine. All right, Khalil Herbert, would you, in that scenario, David Montgomery's gone. Khalil Herbert's a starting running back. Tony Pollard and Zeke are both back in Dallas. Tony Pollard or Khalil Herbert?
Oh, still Pollard. But, you know, I would certainly say Khalil Herbert over Ezekiel Elliott. He's not going to be the only guy there, you know, so that's why I tried to rephrase it. I shouldn't have said it that way in the beginning. It's going to depend on who's in the backfield with them. You know, they have a lot of draft picks, you know, from the moves that they've made. So is running back a clear priority for them when they have to fix the offensive line and add some guys on defense and obviously some receiving options? So that's a big, you know, a lot of holes to fill for an offense that is hopefully going to build around Justin Fields as opposed to replacing him. So you know that the quarterback is going to run a lot, but we saw a lot of production from both running backs at times last season. I think Herbert could be more explosive than David Montgomery. I think there's a lot to like about Khalil Herbert's game. And so if he's the lead guy there and, you know, at least a 60-40 situation, he's going to be, like I said, a borderline top 20 guy, somebody you start to look for round six, I think, depending on format. But again, it's going to depend on who he's sharing the backfield with.
Oh, wow. That was actually a little bit less optimistic than I thought, because when we've seen Montgomery out the last couple years, Herbert has had huge workloads. He's done very well with it, and he's shown explosiveness, you know.
But he didn't share.
He didn't share, but I think he did share a little bit in these games. I'm not sure. Maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking.
A little bit. Look, nobody gets 100% of the touches, but if we're talking about them bringing in a day two running back, then that's, you got to be concerned about Khalil Herbert. If they go and sign obviously not a Jacobs type player or Barkley type, but, you know, if they sign a better than Alexander Mattison type of guy, you know, like someone like that, you know, so not necessarily someone you could see coming in that could take the job, but someone that's going to come in and sort of supplement it. A Boston Scott, for example. Let's say they bring in Boston Scott as the compliment. Yeah. Then I'm very excited about Khalil Herbert.
Right, that'd be great, right? Yeah, like a Jeff
Wilson.
You
know, so but if it's you know, Thomas joked around in our draft yesterday that Madison's going to the Ravens. But if it's Madison to the Bears and it's Madison and Herbert competing for the job, how can you trust Khalil Herbert being the better of the two guys there until you see it? You know, so or until you get word that he's the guy. So that's what I'm saying. It's got to be better than a 60-40 situation. Yeah. So if it's a 60-40 situation, I think he's around six pick. If it's a 80-20 situation, then yes, he's in that Tony Pollard range for sure.
All right, yeah. Dan. If blank goes to the blank, then blank.
If the Jets trade for Aaron Rodgers, and we know Woody Johnson,
if
their owner.
If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets.
If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets. Yeah. Garrett Wilson will be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, and Elijah Moore will be a top 24 fantasy wide receiver. And my case for them is this. I watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers tape last year, and the big thing is, in the beginning part of the year, he did not trust those receivers. He did not trust those receivers on some of those double moves, on the longer routes, and some of the intermediate stuff. Toward the end of the year, he found trust with one receiver, and it was Christian Watson. And he found trust with him because he's damn good at wide receiver and damn good at getting open. Garrett Wilson and Eli Moore are two talents that I believe in. I think Garrett Wilson doesn't profile similarly, but has some similarities in his game to what Davante Adams does, with specifically talking about his footwork and his ability to create separation off the line of scrimmage with his feet. And I think that would translate great with Aaron Rodgers, who's looking to find a receiver who can get open early. So Garrett Wilson is a guy who gets most of the targets, but then Eli Moore, a talent who's been, in my opinion, just buried by this horrific quarterback play for New York. He becomes somebody who you can rely on as a wide receiver too, has some explosive games, overall finishes in that range. And I just really think what's happened there in New York is they've been held back. We've seen such bad quarterback play that any upgrade would be big. So even if Derek Carr is the player and not Aaron Rodgers, I still think Garrett Wilson has probably a little bit more top 15 range and more maybe top 30, but both players on the radar with any kind of quarterback upgrade.
What if it's Garoppolo?
That's a bad question for me, because I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a terrible quarterback who is just completely a product of Kyle Shanahan's system.
But he's better than Zach Wilson.
Anyone's better than Zach Wilson. Is he better than Mike White? That's where I start to question it. And I know people will go crazy with that. So I want to make it clear he is better than Mike White, but I don't know that he's so much better than Mike White out of the Shanahan system. All of what Garoppolo did was just get rid of the football quickly. He had like the shortest time to throw. I saw last season before this one when he played most of the season. He's a one read quarterback. For me, it's a no go with Garoppolo. I won't get too excited with him.
Because it feels as if once Rodgers comes out of his 4 days in a dark room, he's going to end up as a member of the Raiders.
Everyone thinks that, yep.
You know, based on everything that you're hearing. And so if he's a member of the Raiders, what do the Jets do? You know, so
Carr.
But you know, whenever you start to see he's before he's traded making visits, New Orleans feels like a destination for Derek Carr because of Dennis Allen connection. So, you know, you start to connect the dots. The Jets, knowing that Robert Saleh's got a relationship with Jimmy Garoppolo to whatever extent, feels like he could be headed there. You know, and so do they go the Baker Mayfield route? You know, do they go, you know, back into the
route.
Huh?
You can't go that route. Or at least if they go that route, I won't be buying in on Garrett Wilson.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like the Jets almost might get shut out, you know. So I think Derek Carr would be a great fallback option. There you go, Adam. There's your car price. Derek Carr would be a great fallback option to the Jets, since you think that if he went to Washington, they'd be the next best team. In
yeah, there he is. Putting words in my mouth. That it was only a matter of time.
You did send us with the if-then examples. If Derek Carr goes to any team, they become a Super Bowl team.
Right. That's right. It's true.
And he said it was based on what he saw at this Pro Bowl skills competition. Carr was
right. Right. Fifth alternate. No, I'm with you, Dan. I think they definitely need some significant quarterback upgrade to make these guys as potentially good as they could be. And you two, as Giants fans, should take a lesson that just because there might be a malcontent in the locker room, if the talent is there, you try to work through it. The Giants getting rid of Kadarius Toney, the Jets working through the Elijah Moore situation.
I'm perfectly fine with the Giants getting rid of Kadarius Toney.
He's not going to play.
Yeah, he played one snap last week and got injured. I mean, who wants that?
But let's have that conversation Sunday night. Let's see what he does.
Let's see if he can play a full game.
I think we've overrated his production on the Chiefs just a little bit. I mean, he barely plays. He's been good on a per snap basis, but it's not like they're giving him a ton of snaps or anything. But
it's also the same Kadarius Toney he was with the Giants. Every time he gets the football, it's a design touch. He's not running the routes there. He's not really running their offense, just like he went with the Giants. Let's see what happens with him, if he can stay on the field. But yes, as you can tell, I am bitter about the situation.
By the way, I'm working on a stat here.
I mean, this is
crazy if this were true. There were three games where Breece Hall was really given the work. Weeks 4, 5, 6, he had 17, 18, and 20 carries in those games. The first three games, he had 6, 7, and 8 carries, and then he got hurt in week 7. In those three games, it seems like the Jets averaged about 27 running back carries per game, all quarterbacked by Zach Wilson, by the way. In the other 14 games they played, it seems like the Jets averaged 18.4 running back carries per game. So that is 9 more per game when Breece Hall was, you know, treated as the starting running back. That's another angle that's worth looking at. Unfortunately, those were Zach Wilson games. We know they were much more willing to throw when it wasn't Zach Wilson.
Right.
But how run heavy will they be? Because Rodgers was on a team that Rodgers' average pass attempts were way down this year. Not way down from the last 2 years, but like way down from previous years, like 32 pass attempts per game, something like that. So something to keep in mind if you're thinking about Elijah Moore, if you're thinking about other options in that passing game. All right. You know what, Jamie, why don't we talk about your Jacoby Myers prediction, since we've sort of talked about similar topics here, guys like Elijah Moore. We talked about Kadarius Toney. Give me your if-then for Jacoby Myers.
If Jacoby Myers goes to the Chiefs, then he will be a top 20 fantasy receiver in PPR.
Well, I like that.
Juju Smith-Schuster did not pull that off this year, so why do you think Jacoby Myers would?
So Juju did not have a great season. I don't know how much Juju's just washed up.
Yes,
in your phrasing. You know, and part of it, though, I think with Juju, and it kind of brings up Kadarius Toney, this is a very complicated offense to learn. And Juju felt like he was just starting to get going before the concussion in Jacksonville. And then just really everything fell apart for him since then. You know, so I'm hopeful he could have a strong finish. I'm thankful for him, you know, that he got his incentives by making the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, he gets, I think, up to $5 million in incentives. So, you know, he ended up with a decent payday despite taking a one-year deal because things worked out for him. But I just don't know how much of this is on Juju. And to me, Jacoby Myers feels like, if he ends up in the right situation, he could be Christian Kirk this year. An underrated guy that ends up being a very good fantasy asset because he's had some good numbers in New England. You know, he hasn't necessarily had the greatest quarterback play post Tom Brady. You know, he's had some good moments with the Cam Newton situation, you know, in year one, and then some good numbers with Mac Jones at times. But he's never really been a featured part of a good offense. And I don't know if he has that height, that type of ceiling, but I'd like to see it happen with a great quarterback. And we know the Chiefs receiving core. Juju's on a one-year deal. Hardman's a free agent. They have young guys in Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. Who knows if they decide to move on from Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So there's plenty of opportunities there if, in fact, they decide to go get someone. And I think Jakobi Meyers is a good enough player in that situation where his fantasy numbers could pop.
Yeah, he actually averaged more points per game than Juju Smith-Schuster this year, which is wild. And it's kind of hard to explain this late season slump for Juju. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Before that concussion against Jacksonville, he had three straight games with 88 or more yards, three straight games with 18.8 or more PPR fantasy points. That's Juju. So we did see him emerge. But I don't know. Dan, what do you think? Do you think top 20 for Jakobi Meyers if he's can I follow up real quick? Is this scenario with Toney there, Jamie?
I can't imagine Tony's gone.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, no, he'll be there. So you'd rank Jakobi higher than Toney?
Yeah, I'm not ranking Jakobi Meyers as a top 20 receiver, but I think you could see a path to him having that type of season. You know, I mean, again, you're talking about this is just completely retooling it without bringing in another significant piece. You know, so would you be shocked if the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, you know, like one of those type of things. You know, if they lose the Super Bowl, they were very aggressive. You know, let's just say the Eagles, because they have great cornerbacks, they just lock down this passing game, right? You know, Mahomes to Kelsey, they get their numbers to whatever extent, but this receiving core is completely non-existent. Well, what happened last time when their Super Bowl loss to the Bucs? Everybody saw the glaring weaknesses for them. It was the offensive line. And they found ways to get guys that nobody thought that they can get. Wouldn't be surprising if they, you know, Mahomes like, listen, you took away Tyreek. I had an MVP season. I know I could do it. But help me out a little bit here, Andy. Come on. You know, Brett Veach, help me out a little bit. You know, give me somebody. And they find a way to get a Hopkins. They find a way to get who else is on them? Keenan Allen. You know, they find a way to get somebody that's an aging superstar, or at least they'll have superstar traits. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they go the Juju route again and, you know, say, hey, I'm the MVP. You know, come play 1 year for me. I'll get you paid.
Right.
And maybe Jakobi Meyers has something like that.
All right, let's do one more here, Dan. Give me your Saquon Barkley if-then.
Okay, if Saquon Barkley signs with the Jaguars.
Dan will cry.
Jamie, that's what I want. I don't want them to re-sign Saquon Barkley with the Giants. Yeah, I've made the case already. I'm personally, if I ever ran an NFL team, I would never sign a running back to a second contract. I'd just keep drafting rookies and recycling those four-year deals for $1 million against the cap. But if Saquon Barkley does go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think every single player on that Jaguars offense will produce more than what their ADP is. Trevor Lawrence, Calvin Ridley, if they keep Ingram, and if not, Zay Jones, and Christian Kirk.
Well, every player, maybe every player, but Travis
every
ETN,
player, but every player, Barkley. But Barkley
and ETN. I mean, I don't even know what this would mean.
And ETN.
Is this why would he go to the Jaguars?
It means buy the Jaguars offense if they can get Saquon Barkley, because I really do believe watching that offense enough, because I probably saw four games of game tape on that offense because I love Trevor Lawrence. They need a running back who's going to be able to run power and gap. When I watch Travis Etienne, he is so poorly processing everything that they want to do. And even if you listen to what Doug Peterson says, he doesn't feel comfortable with Travis Etienne running the football in that system. And to get that passing game to the next level, they need to be able to get a running back in there to run power and gap, to establish something so they can run those 5 and 7 step dropbacks off play action with Trevor Lawrence. That gets the deep and intermediate passing game open. What they kind of went to at the end of that season was a pass first, quick hitting, quick game passing game, which can work at times. We saw the Giants do it a little bit at the end of the season, but it doesn't have longevity. If you want to run an offense that can hit those intermediate and vertical shots in the passing game, which is what Trevor Lawrence does best, you need to establish some kind of running game so you can run that kind of play action, 5-7 step drop. And Barkley is the type of back who could run in that system. He just did it with the Giants when they converted to more power and gap concepts with pullers. And I watched way too much Jaguars and saw way too many missed holes from ETN. I just don't think that he's the guy there.
I do think, though, if they go that route, though, because they do have a lot of cap issues.
Yeah.
That you're probably because Barkley's, I'm sure, looking to get some sort of payday. I know he's not looking to break the bank, as he said, but I'm sure he's looking to get some sort of payday. Like, I could see more of a, just because if you want to have the tie-ins, you know, to it, clearly Miles Sanders, you know, with the Peterson connection, not going to cost as much.
Right.
Depending on what his Super Bowl performance looks like. And Devin Singletary. You know, another guy that, you know, has a connection to that type of system, you know, coming from Buffalo. You know,
I think as far as the cap goes, though, with them, I know they have the cap issues because they just spent big in free agency. But they're also one of the reason I picked them, and I was thinking about them or the Dolphins, but the Tua thing scares me there with Miami, is they're still one of those teams that are in the rookie quarterback window. So with Lawrence, when you're in that window and you're not paying your quarterback much, you can kind of sometimes push some of these other contracts back, worry sure. about paying that off later, because this is the window where you should spend.
Right. I just know, like, you know, Ingram's going to cost them if they want to keep him. And Juwan Taylor's a free agent. You know, they have to make a decision.
Yeah, they
right
have
tackle. You know, so the two big pieces on the offense that I don't know how much running back is a position that they necessarily prioritize to spend big on.
According to overthecap.com, the teams with the most salary cap space are the Bears by far, the Falcons, the Giants, Texans, Bengals, Patriots, Seahawks, Ravens, Raiders. You know, those would be but the Bears, Falcons, Giants, Texans, Bengals, Patriots probably have the most.
I don't see Saquon leaving the Giants personally.
And the Jaguars are in cap hell. They have the fourth worst cap situation. The Saints, Bucks, Vikings, Jaguars, Titans, Chargers, bad cap situation. Okay.
The Saints is hilarious, because if they find a way, who's the quarterback who they were just rumored to be potentially trading for? Was a big name. Carr, yeah. If they found a way to trade for Carr, at this point, I don't know how much I can believe in the salary cap. If this happened, like, this was supposed to be the finally. They pushed it all back. I mean, the Saints have been in cap hell since 2012. I don't understand how this has gone.
Because the cap really is a joke. I mean, it's really, if you have the money to spend, you know, I don't know what their financial situation is, but you know, like, if they have the ability to spend the money, then they can move things around and restructure deals and just pay guys.
That's the thing. A lot of people look at the cap as like a one-year thing. Like, Adam just went over who has the most cap space. These teams didn't have the most. These teams have the least. But it's really a fluid number, because you can dip into next year to change your cap number for this year, because you're pushing those contracts back. Or you can front, or you can do the opposite. And you could. It's so it's like a very interesting fluid number. And I kind of agree with Jamie. Look, if you're in a cap hell, quote unquote, for 10 years and you never pay the piper like the Saints never had to, I just don't know if I can believe in it being the most solid thing.
Okay. By the way, I'm looking at an article on CBSSports.com from 2 years ago, February 10th, 2021, just after the Bucks won the Super Bowl, I'm guessing.
Yes.
So from that point, dating back to 2009, going through the 2020 season, the average salary for the leading rusher on the Super Bowl winning team, average base salary was around $1.1 million. And then last year was the Rams. I mean, you know.
And this year is exactly the same.
This year
Pacheco,
it's going to be Pacheco
and Sanders. None of them are making money. Sanders still on the rookie deal.
There's just, what's the most, like the highest paid base salary to a running back was the leading rusher. Percy Harvin? Is that right?
I mean, if you're re-signing.
I don't know if that was in the Super Bowl or not. But yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line is, spending money on running back is not necessary to win Super Bowls. It might even be a bad idea. I think we all know that.
It's a definite bad idea. If the Giants re-sign Barkley, they're praying he's an outlier to everything that we know about paying that position. But we'll see what happens, I guess.
All right, I got some tweets here from the audience. Their thoughts on if blank goes to the blank, then blank. We have a few minutes for this, guys, so let's fire through these. From Alex Vanderplug: if T. Higgins goes to the Bears, then Justin Fields is a top two quarterback.
Not for me.
No, but it makes him much more attractive. He's yourself a top five guy.
Teddy Roosevelt: if Josh Jacobs goes to any team on a big contract, then he should be expected to fall back to his career average or worse. Classic contract year performance.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not sure I agree.
Depends on the team, but I would lean more.
We need to see the fit, yeah.
I think he's a solid player. If he has a good offensive line, I think he could have a really good year.
But if he goes to the Bears.
Well, they've had offensive line issues for sure.
Yeah, I don't love that O-line.
Plus, I wouldn't expect a lot of catches if he went to the Bears. I don't know. What if he went to the Falcons? If he went to the Falcons, I think he could have his best year. Or maybe not. No, not his second best year. It wouldn't be this good. Right? But no, if he went to the Falcons, you'd be excited about that, right?
It's not a bad spot, I guess.
No, I would be okay with it. But, I mean, I still think he's sharing with Algier.
From Henrik: if Aaron Jones goes to wherever, A.J. Dillon is a top 12 running back.
Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback or Jordan Love?
I would guess Love in this scenario.
Yeah, in this scenario, they're kind of reloading and retooling. No, I wouldn't take him as a top 12 with Jordan Love running that offense.
I was unusually happy to get Jordan Love in our Superflex draft.
In the Superflex. I felt that same way about
Dynasty.
Trey Lance.
Dynasty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trey Lance, mid-round three in Superflex Dynasty. I'll take that anytime.
It was a very good pick, yeah.
And then I got the actual starting quarterback for the 49ers,
Brock Purdy.
Like round 10. Is that whatever?
That'll be great in Dynasty when we look at this in 2 or 3 years.
It seems like the Packers are going to bring Aaron Jones back from all indications. AJ Dillon, I'm not sure what he is right now. I don't know if he's an every down back. Probably not.
He was pretty disappointing this year, I thought.
He was, yeah. From Fantasy Ball, if Lamar Jackson goes to the Falcons, Kyle Pitts is top 5. What do you think, Jimmy?
Oh, wow.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Good call.
And from Aaron St. Dennis, if Derek Carr goes to the Saints, then Chris Olave is a top 10 wide receiver.
I don't know if I'd say top 10, but I certainly say top 20, maybe top 15.
Yeah, probably a little more. Top 20 for me.
You know, as disappointing as Derek Carr was, Rodgers had a terrible fantasy season. He was not even a top 20 quarterback on a per game basis. So I'll just ask you guys, you know, with that setup, is there any doubt in your mind that you'd rather have, if you were an NFL franchise or had a fantasy wide receiver, that you'd rather have Aaron Rodgers than Derek Carr? Is Rodgers clearly a better quarterback still than Carr to you?
Well, I would say Aaron Rodgers with Derek Carr's weapons, which is what he would have, which, by the way, is his old weapon, is a better quarterback.
I completely agree. If he went to Vegas, rapport has already been built with Adams. He'll be a much better option.
Just a simple question. You think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Carr?
Yes.
Still.
Okay. Still. You don't?
No, I do. I'm
not high on Carr to begin with, so.
Yeah. Carr is interesting because you look at his season. He had 3 games that were absolutely horrible. You remember the Saints game?
Yep.
Scored less than 3 points.
He looked really bad against the Steelers that game they lost.
Well, that game was cold. Yeah. He's so bad in the cold.
So bad in the cold.
And then he had this Rams game where he was terrible.
Yeah, don't go to the Jets.
Yeah, or Washington.
Right.
Go to the Dolphins. But Carr had more 20 fantasy point games than Daniel Jones, more than Trevor Lawrence. And I think he had one less than Kirk Cousins.
But he was like living at 20.
Yeah, he never has been.
Like if his address had a number, it would be 20.
That's the thing about Carr is he has so few big games. He has now gone 2 straight seasons without a 30 fantasy point game in 6-pointer passing touchdown league.
So hard for him to get there when he doesn't run at all.
Right.
He's not a prolific
passer. Cousins does it, and Cousins doesn't
run. Right, but he's a more prolific passer, in my opinion, than Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Adam, why'd you take Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson?
He's better than Justin Jefferson, and he's tied to Joe Burrow. This is a dynasty question. I took Ja'Marr Chase number 1 overall in dynasty. He's tied to Joe Burrow for years and years and years.
Yes.
There's some uncertainty about Kirk Cousins.
I support that decision, Adam, but I do not support the decision of taking him where you took him in that draft in a super flex.
Oh, you would have taken Mahomes?
In my opinion, in a super flex, quarterback is worth, in dynasty, quarterback is basically worth everything.
Yeah, my quarterbacks ended up being Tua and Derek Carr.
Tua may not play.
Wasn't great.
Ever again.
I wanted to see how it turned out, you know, but I think Ja'Marr Chase is the most valuable player in Dynasty. So it took him.
Non-quarterback, you're talking about in Superflex, right?
Well, obviously I think even quarterback. But I understand where you're coming from. Jamie, who would you have taken 1-1? Superflex.
I would have taken Mahomes or Allen.
And if you were going to take a wide receiver, it would have been who?
I still would have taken Jefferson.
I would have went Chase with you, Adam, so I got you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the Super Bowl preview.
It was the best round ever when it went Bellinger and Darius Slayton.
Our bad.
Did you hear what Travis Kelce said about Bellinger? Kelce gave a shout-out to Bellinger, one of the young tight ends he likes coming up, Travis Kelce.
I did not hear that.
It might have been a Giants reporter who asked him the question, so I don't know.
Jamie, just so you know, a little sneak peek for tomorrow. I do believe I'm changing my pick. So we'll find out why.
Chiefs?
Yeah, whoa. I think so.
Wow.
Find out why.
You're going off the greatest team ever?
Tomorrow's show.
You're going against the greatest team to ever play 16-1 if Jalen Hurts never got hurt?
Hey, man, the Giants once beat the Patriots. Things happen. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Hey. Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.